Good to see everybody today. Normally I would wonder where everybody was, but today I'm wondering where everybody came from, because we've got so many that have been ill of late, and it seems like every day we hear of new people that have the cold or the flu. But it's sure good to see each one of you here today and feeling better, and hopefully we're about to the point where we're going to be heading on the upward side of all this and get to feeling better again. It's wonderful to have those of you who have been not feeling good for so long being back with us. Nelda, I think, she just topped off everything she had with the shingles, and now she's over all of it and is feeling okay, I think. And so we're delighted to have her at that plateau right now, and just really good to see her. Good to have George Loomis back with us as well. He's been hobnobbing with government officials all over for the past 2 weeks, and he was really glad to come back and de-louse. So he's doing good and feeling much better, and good to see him here. A lot of you who have been through different things, we're thrilled to have you past that part and doing well. As so many have been saying this last week or two, there's really nothing that a good rain wouldn't cure. And isn't it true that God knows that? So I believe we're privileged to pray to Him for that, and want to encourage you to continue to do that. We realize that His will be done, and that's certainly what we want for us in our lives. Speaking of rain, I want to talk about the parable of the soils today, because that's an important part of soil. If you have your Bibles, we'll be looking primarily in Luke chapter 8, but we'll also be looking at Matthew chapter 13. But Luke chapter 8, if you'd like to be turning over there. I think one of the reasons that the parable of the sower resonates so well with us is because it's got common sense to it, and we like common sense. Seems like we live in a world that doesn't have a lot of common sense sometimes. As a matter of fact, I was listening a while back to Dave Ramsey, and Dave Ramsey said common sense is getting so rare it's almost like a superpower. And I think that's right. You know, it's almost like somebody that could fly or swim underwater or climb buildings. You just don't see it as often as you should anymore. But Christ's parables really do give us an understanding of wisdom that is nothing short of what we call common sense. And if we can apply it to our lives, we're going to really have something that most people don't have. In verse 5 of Luke chapter 8, a farmer went out to sow a seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock. When it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I like that. Jesus was always saying that. He who has ears, let him hear. My dad used to do that a lot. Are you listening? Are you paying attention? My mom would do the same thing. And of course, my immediate response was, of course I'm listening. Well, what did I say? Well, sometimes I could repeat it word for word if I could play it back in my brain, but it didn't mean that I had really understood what they were talking about. Because as I was playing it back word for word, I might have been continuing to do what they had just told me to stop doing. Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear." I want to go back to Matthew chapter 13 and pick up his discussion with the apostles on why he used parables. In verse 10, it says, "The disciples came to him and asked, 'Why do you speak to the people in parables?' And he replied, 'The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he'll have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. This is why I speak in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. So, let me ask you this. When you heard the parable, did you hear it? Not did it go through your ears and register, but is it something that you have an understanding for? Did you see it? Not was it something that you saw in your mind visually with a visual picture, but did you perceive what he was talking about? That's what Jesus is asking. And that's why he's saying, if you've got ears, you need to be listening to this. And, well, again, I grew up with that, and so I kind of relate to that, because I had a hard time sometimes being attentive to the point that Mom and Dad were trying to make. Mom and Dad always seemed to have some kind of a point, and I was always trying to figure out how I could get done with what they were talking about, so I'd go out and play. That's all I ever wanted to do, is go out and have fun. There's a lot of adults in this life that they live their entire life for fun. And so when Jesus is talking, sometimes the words are going into their ears, but there's not any understanding. Not because they're not capable of understanding, but because they have no desire to understand. Their heart's not right. And so Jesus begins to explain this parable, and he really goes to this idea of the heart. In verse 11 of Luke chapter 8, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and when the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, the devil comes and takes the word away from their hearts. So here is the setting. In the parable of the sower, the seed is the word of God. Without that understanding, this parable does us no good. The seed is the word of God, and the soil is the heart. That's why he talks about the very first group, who are the soil along the path, that their heart's hard, and so the Satan comes and he steals the seed from their heart. So as we go through this, keeping in mind that the seed is the word of God, and that the soil, the four different types that he's going to talk about, are your heart. And so now you get to decide which soil type your heart is. And if you find out that your heart type is not what Jesus expects, then there will be a decision for you to make based upon that. Let me go back again. Verse 11, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. I can remember when I was younger, I would hear that and I'd think, how unfair. Here the seed was sown on this hard path so that Satan could come and take it away from them so that they couldn't be saved. That's what Jesus is saying. There will be some people who will hear the word and they will not be saved. So it's the devil's fault, right? Because he takes the seed, the word of God, away from their heart. But the answer is no, because the soil is your heart. It's my heart. And so if my heart is hard so that the seed cannot penetrate it, the word of God cannot penetrate it, that's my fault. That's what gives Satan the opportunity to take away the word so that I can't be saved. It's not Satan's fault. That's what Satan does. I mean, Satan's evil. He's got plenty of blame. I don't mean that there's no blame there. But you don't get to go before God on judgment day and say, okay, I was never saved, but that was Satan's fault, so you have to save me, right? That's not what's going to happen. That's why Jesus says, if you have ears, you better listen to this. If you have eyes, you better be able to see. Because failing to understand and perceive what he's saying here will cause us to be lost for all eternity. I think that God takes several passes at us through life, don't you? where we have an opportunity to come in contact with His Word. Maybe in the past our heart's been too hard to receive it. If so, well, shame on us. But what will we do now? Will our heart remain hard to the Word of God? Every farmer here understands, everybody who's not a farmer that's got any common sense understands, that you can't go out and sow wheat on Main Street out here and expect it to grow. There's no way for it to penetrate the hard surface of the road. It just, the seed is not made for that. Well, that's we understand that. But if the seed's not growing in our hearts, that has nothing to do with the sower. It has to do with us. So what will we do about that hardness of our heart? Verse 13, those on the rock, I always used to think that was the same thing, but the rock is just talking about that area that's actually got a little bit of soil over it, and then you've got rock underneath it. It's like these expansion joints out the sidewalk. You'll have the sidewalk going along, and you'll have that little dip in there. It's called an expansion joint. It's so that when you pour that concrete, that the concrete has a little bit of area to move so that it doesn't just crack to pieces. As a matter of fact, the crack will actually occur usually at the base of that expansion joint. But until the crack makes it all the way down to the soil, a lot of times you'll just have a little bit of dirt, especially in Happy Texas, that will blow into that little expansion joint, and stuff will get in there, usually weed seeds. And weeds will grow there, but you can come out with just two fingers and you can pluck it out because it's shallow. There's nothing to it. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the fact that some people's hearts are so shallow that the Word of God does penetrate, but there's no base for it. I mean, it gets the little bit of soil that's there and it goes great guns. We've seen that. Maybe we've been like that at one point or another. We've heard the Word and we've received it with joy. We've been ecstatic. Yay, I'm saved. And perhaps at the time we were saved because we became obedient to the Word. But was there any root there? Was there enough soil in our heart? Was there enough depth in our heart for the Word of God to really take root? Let me read that again, verse 13. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the Word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. This time of testing is called life for those of us who maybe not be paying attention to this. In Matthew chapter 13, in verse 20, he puts it this way. The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. You know what that he lasts only a short time means? It means he lives only a short time. It means he's about to be dead. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he falls quickly away. How about that? When trouble or persecution comes because of the word. Did you notice that Jesus didn't say if trouble or persecution comes because of the word? But he said when trouble or persecution comes because of the word. That means that there are going to be hard things. Now, you and I have got a lot of things to go through in life, and sometimes some of us have harder things than other people have to go through. But that doesn't mean we can leave Christ because of that. That doesn't mean, okay, you've had a hard lot in life, so you have a pass. Everybody else has to obey God's word, but you don't have to do that because of your hard life. Trouble and persecution will come because of the word. There will be things in your business life where you have to make decisions for Christ as opposed to decisions for Satan, for the world. There will be people who really will ask you to decide between what is godly and right and what is sinful and evil. Do you have that type of ability? Do you have that kind of depth? Or will we be so shallow that we're kind of like that 2 or 3 year old? Or we're excited as long as we've got what we want, but when there's any kind of opposition, then we cry and we yield. We can't do that. And so Jesus talks about that. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, It's life's a test. In a time of testing, it says, they fall away. And then the last two types of soil. I think these are the types of people that you will typically find on every Sunday morning within the worship. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Is there anyone here who does not think that they have never been choked by life's worries or pressures or pleasures? I don't know about you, but you don't have to admit anything you don't want to. I'm not calling you to a confession publicly today, but how many of you have ever been struggling through a sermon and you're waiting to get on with life? If you just get past this sermon, life will begin. That's the way it was for me, especially when I was a kid. All I could wait for on Sunday morning was when that preacher finally stopped talking and we finally had that closing song and we finally had that closing prayer so I could run out and play until it was time to go home. And then when we got home, I'd change as quick as I could so I'd go out and play again. That's all I cared about. Sometimes the pleasures of life choke out our productivity. We don't really have the time to stop on a daily basis and study the Word of God because there's too many fun things we'd like to be doing. There's stuff on television, things on television that I don't even have to use my mind for. The only thing I really have to use is my left hand just to click the clicker. And I say my left hand because I'm right-handed, and my right hand is what I hold my beverage or my snack in. So that's the way a lot of people are. They never study the Word of God because they fool themselves and they say they don't have time. How much time did you spend watching football last week? Oh, 9-10 hours. Wish it could have been more. How much time do you spend reading? Well, I didn't have time. I did read a couple verses. You know that? How would that work at work? You didn't show up for your job. Where have you been? I've been watching football, and let me tell you, it was good. Well, why didn't you come into work? Well, I just didn't have time. By the way, I didn't get my paycheck this week. You know anything about that? But you know how many people will go before God on Judgment Day, and they will expect God to reward them for the things that they didn't do while in the flesh? A great study sometime would just be to go through the Scriptures, the New and the Old Testament. Every time you see the word reward, see what it's connected to. And if you can find one time in Scripture where the word reward is not connected to your behavior, I would love to see it. And I haven't seen it. Reward is based on behavior. How are we doing on that? I mean, I realize none of us deserve salvation. I'm not suggesting you're going to earn your salvation. But reward is always based on behavior. And so we have to make sure that as we go through life, our service to God isn't choked by the pleasures, much less by the worries. It's hard enough with the hard things in life to deal with those things, to take care of work, to take care of sickness, to take care of the things that we have to deal with. But it's our riches and pleasures that sometimes keep us from God. And then the last soil, verse 15. The seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. Have you ever known anybody with a noble and a good heart? See, we typically reserve the word noble for heroes, for somebody who is selfless, for somebody who can stand before the enemy, maybe stand between you and the enemy, somebody who is willing to risk a sacrifice. They're noble. And that's what the seed on the good soil stands for, those with a good and noble heart. Again, the soil is your heart. And here's the point. And again, this is something that everybody, whether they've had a garden or whether they have had a farm, understands. If you take good seed under good conditions and you put it with good soil, it has to grow. That's what good soil does with a good seed and good conditions. Now, it's the conditions that we can help alter. I'm absolutely convinced one of our big duties in life is soil preparation. I really think that we can help other people when we bring them the Word of God by actually preparing their heart a little bit to receive it. That's what parents do, is it not? You prepare your kids' hearts. That's not always easy. Moms are usually better than dads, but we prepare their hearts. When you're going to bring the gospel to somebody, prepare their heart. If you see that there's a path there, then try and break it up a little bit. If you see it's shallow, then try and give a little depth to it. If you see that there's a lot of difficulties they have on the outside, then maybe lift a burden a little bit. But again, I want to say this. The seed is the Word of God, and if the Word of God, which is perfect, finds good soil, it has to grow. As a matter of fact, it'll explode in growth. And that growth is souls. That means if you have a good heart and the good seed finds your heart, you're going to help other people come to Christ. The crop that could be produced could be 30 times, it could be 60 times, it could be 100 times. Jesus isn't trying to limit it. He's trying to show us the exponential growth that a good heart will have when the seed comes in contact with it. Question is, which heart do you have? The invitation's open. If anyone's ready to become a Christian today, we would love to help you with that. If you need the prayers of the congregation, or if we can help you in any way, won't you come while we stand and sing?